We're going there. All right. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word from Luke 4. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and was as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, I'm not on hardly any social media anymore. Yeah, I used to be. But for all its obvious and wondrous benefits, I have a problem now with how much of my attention it steals away from me. So several years back, I made this personal choice to reclaim that attention from the slot machine of endless scrolling and give that precious resource to other things, real world things, life-giving things. And I gotta say, it's one of the best choices I've made for myself, and I'd highly encourage you to give that a shot sometimes. However, I gotta admit that there is one aspect of social media that I actually appreciated. And it's the profile tagline. The profile tagline. See, one of the first things that you do when you sign up for social media, be it Facebook or Instagram or the artist formerly known as Twitter, is that you make a profile, right? You put your name and your picture up there so that when you log in, you know it's you and not somebody else. And then you get this dedicated space to say something about yourself. Who are you? What do you care about? What defines you? It's this small blinking cursor that prompts a rare moment of reflection where you can tell the world in a succinct and clear way, this is me and this is what I'm about. The profile tagline. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Some of us do. Some of us don't. You can imagine it. I did try to take a quick couple of minutes to find some real-life profile taglines for you, you know, to really drive my point home here. And I ended up sucked into this rabbit hole of very distracting, very funny social media posts. And after I thought a couple minutes had passed, I looked at the clock and exclaimed out loud, "I've spent how long doing this? It's not worth it. And this is why I don't have social media." It's a small miracle that I made it past the introduction today, and the rest is not interpretive doodles for you. But I would argue that the profile tagline is the cornerstone of social media. I mean, if we're going to encounter others online, who is it exactly that we're encountering? What matters to this person? Come to think of it, what matters to me? What aspects of our lives do we point to say, this is who I am? And I think this must be the question on Jesus' mind as well, because our gospel reading today is basically Jesus setting up his social media profile. This text from Isaiah, this is his tagline. It's the very first thing that Luke records about Jesus when he takes his ministry public. This is him letting everyone know in a succinct and clear way who he is and what he's about. And everything that's about to follow in Jesus' life and in the Gospel of Luke, it starts here and it flows from this. And when we see it that way, it becomes apparent how vital it is for Jesus to claim Isaiah's words as his own. Because Jesus is going to leave this synagogue, and he's going to say and do all sorts of incredible, miraculous, controversial, subversive, world-shattering things that are going to cause the rise and fall of many. And when he does, it's these words from the prophet Isaiah that tether him to his identity and to his purpose. It will be these words that he can point to when others question and accuse him. So I want us to hear them again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, when I read these words through the lens of a profile tagline, you know, like an identity and purpose statement, there are two things that jump out at me. The first is how Jesus understands himself primarily in his relationship with God. It's right there at the beginning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he, the Lord, has anointed me. And of course, we know the story. We remember when this happened, right? At Jesus' baptism, the Spirit of the Lord descends upon him in the bodily form of a dove, and it rests upon him. It anoints him. And in that moment, a voice from heaven speaks to him. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Of all the ways that Jesus could choose to identify himself to the world, he begins with his most important relationship. Which makes sense. You see this on social media too. We do the same sort of thing. We declare who we are by naming who we are in relation to other people. So if you want to know who I am, I might tell you that I am the son of Jay and Lori. I'm the brother of Jennifer. I'm the husband of Kia. I'm the father of... you thought I was going to share it? Don't worry. You'll know in a month. I'm the father of baby G. I'm of the family Gornflow. All these relationships are significant if you truly want to know who I am. And Jesus does the same thing. He links himself with the Father through the Spirit. And unless you first understand his family ties, you're not ever going to understand who Jesus truly is and what he's truly about. And that's one of the things that I want to encourage us to take with us this week and consider for ourselves. Who do we understand ourselves to be in relation to God? And what impact does our relationship with God have on our identity and our purpose in the world? In other words, what if we, like Jesus here, before we said anything about ourselves to others, said that we were beloved by God, that we were students of Christ, that we were sons and daughters of the King of the universe? What if the reality that our lives are hidden together with Christ is the truest thing that we could ever say about ourselves? What if when we look in the mirror in the morning, and before we notice the gray hairs or the blemishes on our skin, what if we notice staring back at us someone in whom God delights, in whom God takes great joy, in whom God has given his life for? Because before Jesus says anything about himself, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He knows whose son he is. And you know what? That's the very same promise that Jesus opens up and makes possible for us too. At the cross, we have been adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon and within us. This is the first aspect of Jesus' tagline here that jumps out at me. The second is that when Jesus is laying the foundation for his identity, He doesn't start from scratch. He doesn't make up something clever of his own accord. There's none of this, "Hey everyone, I'm Jesus. I build stuff out of wood. I enjoy matzo. Hanukkah's my favorite holiday. Let's see what else. Oh, I don't really know how to swim, but not to worry, I've got a workaround for that." No, it's none of that. He doesn't turn to his vocation or his hobbies or his list of favorite things to define who he is. Rather, he turns to the tradition of his people and the words that they together hold sacred. He turns to this shared identity of the Jews and their shared hope in the promises and commitments of God. In other words, he turns to Scripture as the most appropriate way to name who he is and what he's up to in the world. And I can't help but be compelled by that. I can't help but wonder what Scripture, what text from the Bible that I've come across that I would claim as my own in order to declare to the world and to myself, this is who I am, and this is what I'm about, and this is what I want to be about. Have you ever thought about that for yourself? What would it be for you? And that's the other thing. Along with the who we are in relation to God, this is the other thing I want us to consider this week. What is the verse or the verses in God's word that give voice to your heart? Not just ones that you like, not ones that that are significant for this one moment, but that I identify you in some way. Jesus turns to his relationship with God and to the Scriptures in order to state his profile tagline, in order to say who he is and what he's about. And I gotta say, that's quite a tagline, right? But of course, it's more than that, too. The words of Isaiah don't just function for Jesus as a description of his identity and purpose. They are also a declaration about a new reality that up until now were just words on a scroll, a future hope and an unrealized vision. But now, in the mouth of Jesus, Isaiah's words are more than that. Now they are a tangible, present reality. And if we look at what follows in the ministry of Jesus, there can be no doubt about this. When Jesus is around the poor, in fact, hear good news proclaimed to them, and they are filled with hope. When captives of sin and demon possession encounter Jesus, they are released from their bonds. The physically and spiritually blind receive their sight whenever Jesus touches them. Those who experience the oppression of death, of idolatry, of guilt, whatever form their oppression happens to take, Jesus sets them free. And all along, what's the message that he proclaims? The kingdom of God is here. The world is different now. God is doing a new thing. Enter into the Lord's favor. So even though Jesus is using the words of Isaiah to let the world know who he is and what he's about, this is actually way more than just a mere description. This is an emancipation proclamation. These are words of liberation spoken to those who are shackled in chains. Freedom comes when Christ goes to the cross, and the slaveholders of evil, sin, and death are triumphed over and stripped of their power. At the cross, the fullness of Isaiah's words find their true home. At the cross, the thick temple curtain that veiled the Spirit of God tore in two, and God's Spirit was freed out into the world. At the cross, all of creation was emancipated from its captivity, and we are all invited to join in the Jubilee, to experience the time of God's favor. There is more happening in this Nazarene synagogue than just a declaration of Jesus' true identity. When Jesus opens the scroll, finds the place where it's written, and proclaims that Isaiah's words are being fulfilled right there and right now, a new creation bursts forth in the midst of this one, and nothing has ever been the same since. And really, that's what we've spent the last month trying to name, trying to grasp for ourselves. See, we don't have to be on social media in order to determine what our profile tagline is. All we have to do is ask ourselves, how does this life of new creation that Jesus brings into the world keep bringing newness through our life together? What does the reality of Jesus' life and lordship look like for Kenai Fellowship? So just as the words that Jesus spoke in Isaiah jumped off the scroll and became this living, breathing reality through the ministry of Jesus, what words of Scripture might the Holy Spirit be leading us to embody so that they are no longer mere ink marks on a page, but evidence of new creation in today's world? Dare we, like Jesus here in Luke, claim the words of Scripture as our own destiny? Dare we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit's moving? And as we look back on the past few weeks, can we truly embrace the better parts of what God has made us to be, like Mary? Can we join Peter by his beachside campfire and listen closely to what dreams Jesus has for us? Will we marvel when we see water turn to wine? Because when we see that happen, we know that Jesus is near. I pray that we will. And I, along with Kia and the shepherds, we want to take what you have all shared over these past few weeks to heart. Because we believe that through you and through this period of reflection and listening, that God is speaking to us all, that he's leading us and guiding us along the paths of his choosing. And as he does, we want to listen to him well. We know this is a path whose ground is revealed one step at a time. That's the way trust is built. And so over the next few weeks, our leadership here will take the next step of gathering to reflect on what you've shared. And as we do, we're keeping our eyes and hearts open to see how we might turn those reflections into practical commitments that embody who God has called us as Kenai Fellowship to be. But all of this is dead on arrival without you. We need you to pray for the leadership as we gather to reflect and listen and act. We need you to pray for our congregation that we might faithfully live out the words of Scripture, which the Holy Spirit is weaving into our identity. We need you to pray for one another, that God would prepare each of us to receive whatever it is that he has in store for us next. Because I'm convinced that if Jesus had a social media profile tagline, this text from Isaiah would be it. And because his tagline does something more than describe something about him, because it declares new life for the world, nothing in all creation can keep us from that new life if we say yes to Jesus. So, beloved church, let us say yes. Let that be our tagline. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we look to you. We look to you as the one who brings good news to us who are poor, the one who proclaims release for us who are captive, the one who brings sight to us who are blind. We look to you as the only one able to set us free from our oppression, and we long to hear you say that now is the time and that this is the year of your favor. In you we place all our trust and every hope that we have, and we pray this in your name and in the power of your Spirit. Amen.